Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. The last time we were together here on Hope for Today, we were studying Luke chapter 14 and verses 25 to 35 under the title, Count the Cost. In this text, Jesus is counseling his hearers to count the cost of following him. In his counsel, he mentions several areas of life that impact our choice to follow him. The first area is your relationships. Jesus clearly stated that all those who follow him must be willing to put him first, even before their family members. Now, we didn't get to finish our teaching on this area, so we'll return to it in just a few moments. But before we do that, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 35. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." One of the blessings of being a follower of Jesus is the realization that he does not ask you and me to do anything he's not willing to do. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus was teaching the crowds, and his mother and his brothers showed up. Evidently, because of the crowd, they couldn't get close to him. So some people in the crowd said to Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are here." You remember what Jesus said? He said, "Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Was Jesus giving his family the cold shoulder? Not really. He was showing that relationships formed through him are stronger than bloodlines. As you and I assess the area of relationships, we often find it difficult to give Jesus priority over our family, don't we? For many of us, our families are precious. They're an integral part of our lives. I've been blessed and gratified to see many godly parents encourage their children to follow Jesus, even though that meant they would move to another community or perhaps even to another country. And by God's grace, my wife and I have encouraged our children to follow Jesus wherever he leads them. Do these parents miss the regular interaction with their children and grandchildren? Of course they do. Do they have concerns about their physical safety? Some of them do. But they're committed to putting Jesus first in their lives and in the lives of their children. They understand that relationships formed through the blood of Jesus are eternal, while our biological relationships, as we experience them now, only last for a lifetime. Do your choices prove that you love Jesus more than your family? Are you willing to release your family members to Him or His service, even if it costs them their lives? And then Jesus brings us to the toughest assessment, a willingness to love Him more than our own lives. Every one of us has an elemental instinct of self-preservation. But Jesus says, unless we're willing to yield that to Him, we cannot be His disciple. Do I love Jesus more than my own life? Do you? This is a tough question to ask myself, and it's a tough question to ask you. But you know something? We can't avoid it. It's one thing to say, I love Jesus more than myself, even more than my own life. But what does that really look like in our daily choices? That leads us to Jesus' statement in verse 27. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's that phrase again. Have you ever heard anyone talk about a grouchy neighbor or an ungrateful spouse or a coworker that's a real pain, and then they'll say this, well, I guess that's just my cross to bear. Or maybe it's an illness or a physical limitation that's referred to as a cross. But is that what Jesus is talking about? No, I don't believe it is. And unfortunately, we have in many ways trivialized the cross. We've removed its rough edges. Modern Christianity and the world have generally turned the cross into a nice piece of harmless jewelry, all shiny and pretty. But Jesus and his disciples lived under the Roman occupation of Israel. The Romans' primary form of capital punishment was crucifixion, and the people of Jesus' day had seen crosses by the hundreds and perhaps even the thousands, and they hated the Romans for it. In crucifixion, the condemned were flogged almost to the point of death and then compelled to carry the crossbeam of their cross to the site of execution. That crossbeam could weigh anywhere between 75 to 125 pounds. Once they arrived at the crucifixion site, they were stripped completely naked and either tied by cords or nailed to that crossbeam. Then the crossbeam was hoisted into place in a notch on the upright and secured. The victim's feet could then be nailed, one on either side of the upright. The crosses held the victim's feet just a few inches off the ground, not high in the air like we often see in pictures. The reason for that was it left them exposed to humiliation by those who passed by. They could mock them and taunt them and spit on them. Death by crucifixion was slow, but usually occurred within 36 hours. The pain of their infected wounds and the weight of the body compressing the lungs and the dehydration they experienced all added to the torment. And you know, the Romans often left bodies to decay on the cross and to be devoured by scavengers. So when Jesus mentioned the cross, this is what the people saw in their minds. It was an instrument of the cruelest form of death. And they knew that those who bore the cross never returned. Jesus carried the cross for us. As you assess the relationship between yourself and Jesus, are you truly one of his followers? Have you truly died to yourself? Do your choices primarily benefit you or others? Have you given Jesus the freedom by his Spirit to live his life through you? Do you realize that the path of suffering is what Jesus often uses to assess our level of discipleship? One man who realized this was Adoniram Judson. He was a pioneer missionary to Burma. Adoniram endured untold hardships trying to reach the lost for Christ. For 7 heartbreaking years, he suffered hunger and privation. During his time, he was thrown into Ava prison, and for 17 months while he was there, he was subjected to the most incredible mistreatment. In fact, for the rest of his life, he carried the ugly marks made by the chains and the iron shackles which had so cruelly bound him. But he was a man who had embraced the cross of Christ and was willing to carry it. When he was released, he asked for permission to enter another province in Burma where he might resume preaching the gospel. When the godless ruler heard his request, he indignantly denied it by saying, "My people are not fools enough to listen to anything a missionary might say, but I fear they might be impressed by your scars and turn to your God." These are sobering, difficult questions for me to ask myself as I assess my relationships with respect to discipleship. I can glibly say, "Sure, I'm a follower of Jesus," but that's from my perspective. What would others say? And most importantly, what would Jesus say if someone asked him whether or not I'm one of his followers? What I say and what he knows may be two different things. But as God's Spirit searches my heart and knows my motives, I believe he will find it's my desire to be one of his followers, whatever the cost. And I hope that's your desire too. The second area of assessment then is your resources. One of the beauties of Jesus' teaching is its simplicity. He used common illustrations that his hearers could easily understand. He imbued the common events of life with spiritual meaning. So, a tower was something people were familiar with. They built them in their vineyards, on the city walls, for a place of refuge, or just an ornamental part of a fancy building, so they could readily identify with the scenario that Jesus proposed. I've seen, and maybe you've seen it too, a building that's been started and partially built, but years later, it's still sitting there in that unfinished state. It becomes a monument to someone's lack of preparation. Now, in our culture, the person may be mocked or ridiculed for their failure, but you know, eventually people forget about it and we move on. However, the culture of Jesus' day was based on the competing ideas of honor and shame. So this unfinished building would be a continual reminder of the shame of failing to plan wisely. And that shame wasn't just personal. It affected the entire group or family or village. Jesus used this example to show the crowd it was very important that they assess their resources and count the cost before deciding to follow him. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Count the Cost. Now, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Count the Cost, and we'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Count the Cost. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Count the Cost. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.